This is Chuck Norris, and I would like to personally welcome you to
Shock and Awe.
My fellow Americans, I'll shock and awe you.
It's that time again.
Woo!
Once upon a time, a man was attacked by a vampire bird. He was sucked to death. The vampire bird killed him at last. Vampire bad. Vampire bad. Vampire bad. Vampire bad. Vampire bad. The lake of fire tore his ass up. He was burning to the crisp. He was cast to the lake of burning flame. Vampire bad. Vampire bad. Vampire bad.
Hello, I'm Kenny Rogers, and this is the Jackass.
One's called the police brutality trick. There he is. Move the camera. Have the camera.
Hey, excuse me, officer. I lost my dog. He up in the park. Hey,
Rogers, this is the stilt trick.
Oh. Yeah. Doodly doodly doodly. Oh.
Oh. I'm Kenny Rogers, this is self-defense. We're gonna test out some self-defense items. Got pepper spray. Electric cattle prod, a sword on you, nunchuck, bat. We're gonna see which one of these items is best for the consumer self-defense. Is pepper spray. Give me all your money. This is the cattle prod. Yeah. Hey, aren't you the guy from Blink 182?
To the last drop.
I'm Kenny Rogers, and this is the shopping cart trick. I'm Kenny Rogers, and this is the bat fetcher trick with my teeth.
You,
Hey, you listen to Shock and Awe Show. This is DJ.
Woo! All the damn products is done and realize that nobody wins in the dairy challenge. If Kenny Rogers does this, good night.
Oh, yo, bro, look, check it out. It's D-Lo.
What's up?
Yo, D, when'd you get up, man?
This morning, man. Good to be home now.
Gee, girl, I ain't seen you in a minute. I know you got some split in.
I ain't been trying to see nobody. I needed to get over losing my man.
I ain't even know you had a man.
Girl, they all scrubs.
Yo, D, before you got locked up, bruh, everybody said you got sprung on some shark.
Please, apparently she had your nose wide open. Nah, it wasn't like that. Then what was it like?
Yeah, D, what was it like?
Ghetto loving, black girl ass.
Ghetto loving, shotgun blast.
Met the shorty, fine as can be.
Met a thug, STD free.
Ghetto days, hobos away. How I love the folks that get so nice.
Ghetto, ghetto, ghetto. Tell me more, tell me more.
Is she a baby mama?
Said I fought in Iraq.
He had spinners on his Cadillac.
I could tell she was no good.
Just my type, he's all hood.
Ghetto hood, it's all good. How I love the hoes get at so nice.
Ghetto, ghetto, ghetto.
It was gay.
I got tipsy, drank Alizé.
We smoked weed, then I hit them skin.
I got pregnant with twins. Ghetto wife,
this is my life. How I love the folks get at tonight.
From the white guy.
Now we're slinging that crack.
It ain't easy being black.
Ghetto shit ain't like a bitch. Still I love the first game tonight.
She wouldn't pay bail.
Sometimes he calls me collect.
I messed up, now I'm a wreck. Ghetto hood, it's not all good. But those ghetto nights.
Tell me more, tell me more.
some got hopes and dreams. We got ways and means. The supreme dream team always up with the schemes. From hubcap to selling raps, name the theme. Mirage to the top, floating on the screen. Who the hell wanna stop me? I hated those who got me. A million refugees with unlimited warranties. Black Caesar, dating top divas. Diplomat immunities, no time for a visa. It just begun. I'ma shoot them one by one. Got five sides to me, something like a pentagon. Strike with the forces of King Solomon. Letting bygone be bygone and so on and so on. I'ma teach these cats how to live in the ghetto. Keeping it retro, expect to feel the giggle. Lay low, let my mind shine like a halo. For politics with ghetto senators on the D-Lo.
Shut it off behind closed doors, hitting truth to the sea floor. The rich don't know, ignore the tug of war while the kids are poor. Open new and better drugstores, so I became hardcore. Couldn't take it no more. I'ma reveal everything, change the law. I find myself walking the streets, trying to find what's really going on in the streets.
Now every dog got a say. Needless to say, when the chief away, that's when the cats wanna play. I told you, mess around you fools like Cassius Clay. Stretch my heat and make you do a pot of parade. Kick your balls like Pele, think I'm doing ballet. Peak like Dante, broader than Broadway. Get applause like a matador, cry, yell it, ole. Who the hell wanna see me from BK to Calais?
We're talking to Lady Marmalade, live, recorded in the studio of Koa. At 2:17 in the morning,
Nebraska, a district court.
We're in Nebraska.
Yo, shit, Lady Marmalade, do you know that shit? This shit's being rebroadcast on Koa.
No, I did not know that.
If you miss this show, Saturday, no, Sunday nights at 2 a.m. in the morning on KOWA in Olympia, 106.5 FM. Represent, yo.
So all the people who aren't listening now can listen then.
Yeah.
Go and listen again.
Yeah.
That's great.
I'm just gonna record all the way through the night until tomorrow morning and through the afternoon, so that they get you not doing yoga. Even by then, it will be like 3 in the afternoon.
That's still kind of late.
All right.
Cling on.
We need a beast, she said it'll kill him, but since the advent of the beast, the church attendance has tripled, tithing has increased, long lines of sinners wait eagerly outside the confessionals, piety has never been higher.
Kevin Rudd, a prime minister of great courage, a leader of great conscience, and a visionary for reform, and I welcome him to our country.
It wouldn't be too strong to say that the election of Kevin Rudd constituted something of an Obama moment for that country.
Never allow family to stand in the way of profit.
The speed and scale of global economic change has overwhelmed the national systems of rules and regulations, and a new regulatory system is put in place.
The regulations only apply to trades made in currency. Barter is unregulated.
Well, of course it is. You wouldn't come to the exchange to barter. That would be insane.
What are worrying me about it is that my great-grandchildren are going to be paying for it.
The kids are going to be paying for a long time. It's like they're printing money and there's no backup to it.
Everyone's throwing their ideas into a basket. No one seems to have any answers. And it's all, like, we're all inexorably moving towards chaos, I think. I think we're all in denial, and someone described it as the five stages of grieving, and collectively as a globe, we're probably entering the anger stage.
Alan Greenspan in 2000. I believe that the general growth in large financial institutions has occurred in the context of an underlying structure of markets in which many of the larger risks are dramatically, I should say, fully hedged. Alan Greenspan in 2004. Improvements in lending practices driven by information technology have enabled lenders to reach out to households with previously unrecognised borrowing capacities. With these advances in technology, lenders have taken advantage of credit scoring models and other techniques of efficiently extending credit to a broader spectrum of consumers. Alan Greenspan, May 2005. The use of a growing array of derivatives and the related application of more sophisticated approaches to measuring and managing risk are key factors underpinning the greater resilience of our largest financial institutions. Derivatives have permitted the unbundling of financial risks.
You are listening to Free Radio Olympia, 98.5.
Hidden Bacilli. In the winter of 1906, Major George Soper of the U.S. Army Sanitary Corps was asked to investigate a puzzling typhoid outbreak. It had happened during the previous summer at the vacation residence of a New York banker in decidedly upper-class Oyster Bay, Long Island. Six out of the 11 members of the household had been struck down. Typhoid was hardly a normal accompaniment to the summer festivities in Oyster Bay, and the bankers, brokers, and lawyers who were thick on the ground there had been thrown into a panic. Soper carefully ruled out possible contamination of the water and food supplies. The other families in the area had eaten the same food, and the water was very clean. The only unusual factor he could discover was that a new cook had been hired about 3 weeks before the first typhoid case appeared in the family. The cook had left soon afterwards. Little was known about her except that she was a large, stout, and uncommunicative Irish woman, about 40 years old, and had been an excellent cook. Soper had fought earlier outbreaks of typhoid in upstate New York and was convinced that the disease could be passed directly from one person to another. He was able to find the cook's name, Mary Mallon, through her employment agency. Information from the agency also enabled him to track down eight families she had worked for during the previous decade. In seven of these families, there had been outbreaks of typhoid. In one, virtually everyone but the master of the house and Mary Mallon had been stricken, and the man had actually been so grateful for her nursing help that he'd given her $50. Soper soon found that the trail of infection was continuing. In the brief time since leaving Oyster Bay, Mary Mallon had found employment in a household in Tuxedo, New York, but left after a laundress in the household was taken sick. When Soper finally tracked her down, she was working for another family in New York City. With grim predictability, a chambermaid and a daughter of the house's owner had just come down with typhoid. The daughter had died of the disease, the first fatality in the outbreaks that Soper had traced. And when he managed to confront Mary Mallon, he found that she was preparing to leave this house as well. Soper thought that Mary Mallon must surely have had some inkling of the havoc that she was causing, and would be glad to know that there were common sense precautions, such as personal cleanliness, that would eliminate the problem. But when he walked into her kitchen to interview her and try to explain the situation, she chased him from it, brandishing a carving fork. She proved equally uncooperative in a second interview. There was no choice, Soper felt, but to have the New York Department of Health take her into custody. She was tracked down in March 1907 by Sarah Josephine Baker, an assistant to the Commissioner for Health, accompanied by five policemen. Mary hid in an areaway closet behind several filled ash cans. But a sharp-eyed policeman spotted a scrap of calico clinging to the door of the closet. Baker sat on her all the way to the hospital. It was like being in a cage with an angry lion. Mary Mallon was forcibly kept in various hospitals by the Department of Health for 3 years, during which time the bacteria count in her stools was continuously monitored. The bacteria came and went. Sometimes they were numerous, and sometimes they disappeared for weeks at a time. But there was no doubt that they were multiplying somewhere in her body. Typhoid Mary was, in Soper's words, a living culture tube in which the germs of typhoid multiplied. The case of Typhoid Mary received intense publicity. She was confined to separate quarters with only a dog for company. Food would be brought by a nurse who put it down by the door and then fled. She claimed that she had never been a typhoid carrier and tried several times to obtain her release by suing for a writ of habeas corpus. Each time, judges found that the Department of Health had been justified in its unique and precedent-breaking action. There was a mixture of reactions to her plight in the newspapers. In some stories, she was portrayed as a fiendish villain. In others, as a lonely woman unjustly locked away. Even the New York Times cautiously took her side. Then the administrative head of New York's Department of Public Health was replaced. And one of the first acts of the new commissioner was to release her in February 1910. It was explained clearly to her at the time that her release was conditional on the promise that she would not seek employment as a cook. 3 months after her release, Mary Mallon complained to the Board of Health that the city had taken away her only means of livelihood. Soon afterwards, she changed her name and disappeared. Soper discovered later that she had worked as a cook in at least two positions during the subsequent 5 years, and in both houses there had been outbreaks of typhoid. But it was when she obtained a job as a cook in the Sloan Hospital for Women in Manhattan that she could no longer hide her presence. Shortly after she arrived, masquerading as a Mrs. Brown, there were 25 cases among the nurses at the hospital. When the outbreak began, the other servants at the hospital jokingly began to refer to her as Typhoid Mary. But it was only as the number of cases increased that the hospital administrators began to realize that they might have the real Typhoid Mary on their hands. As suspicion grew, Mary Mallon did what she had done so often in the past. She changed her name again and fled, first to New Jersey and then to Long Island. There, in a house where she had just begun to work as a cook, she was finally captured and subdued after another epic struggle. When the police were refused entry, they were forced to climb a ladder and break into the house through a second-story window. This time, her incarceration was permanent. Held first at Riverside Hospital and later at a grim, remote facility on North Brother Island off the shore of the Bronx, she passed her life in dreadful solitude and finally died of the effects of a stroke in 1938. There were no mourners at her burial, which was carried out hurriedly and secretively. It seems unlikely that Mary Mallon was incapable of understanding her role as a spreader of disease. She was intelligent and literate, and indeed, Soper remarked on the fact that she wrote clear letters in excellent English. Had she simply panicked at the thought of losing her freedom? Were her repeated returns to life as a cook presumably the only thing she was good at, because of incomprehension of the danger she posed to others, or the result of overwhelming financial need, or both? Mary Mallon was only the most famous of a sad group of bacteriological pariahs who dragged out a lonely existence in prisons and hospitals throughout much of the first half of this century. Why did these carriers remain perfectly healthy while still producing the deadly bacilli over periods of years or decades? There had to be a focus of infection lurking somewhere in their intestinal tract. Once this question was properly posed, it could quickly be answered. The focus turned out, in most cases, to be the gallbladder.
This ends side two of cassette four of Yellow Fever, Black Goddess.
We want to get Caterpillar back on its feet.
We are getting a dog. This is a very important question in the United States. And when we're getting it, it should be there soon.
It's not visually that interesting. And so there's a great desire to inject some
lessons of history. And people paid an enormous price.
Don't shortchange the future.
Words must mean something. The world in his
hand. Whatever is necessary. And I think, as President Obama has said, look, never before has the world come together in this way to deal with the first course of our dinner. You have not had this level of international cooperation to complete our dinner this evening. And never before has the world come together with so many countries represented from so many different continents to address this dinner. We have China, we have India, we have Argentina, Brazil, we have South Africa, we have Russia, as well as Europe and America and Japan. And we are within a few hours, I think, of agreeing a global plan to do whatever is necessary. Not with words, but with a plan for global dinner. And President Obama and I are agreed today that the actions we take are global solutions requiring for global dinner.
Today's decisions, of course, will not immediately solve the new world order.
There will be more bad economic data ahead as night follows day.
Global age, global change, global
mark, global cowboys. David Miliband is a friend of mine. We're both on the set together. Wouldn't mind parking yourself next to each other as well, so that's just normal. The world suddenly became silent and still. Silent and still, as we confronted the overwhelming power and the overwhelming terror of Baki violence, Baki thugs, and organized criminal activity, cowboys in global financial markets.
Say the global recession will end, and they've pledged $1 trillion toward that recovery. The United States said, this is a turning point, and by any means, certainly a historic summit. And France said, yes, this is certainly more than we could have hoped for, so with the stricter oversight, so yes, I'm very happy. And Germany said, sehr gut. And some analysts responded, okay, $750 billion to the International Monetary Fund, a financial stability board, and a pledge to not engage in protectionism. Will any of this work? We have no idea, but it sure sounds good. And that's today's news. I'm Marta Costello.
Hi, this is the Massey, and you're listening to Free Radio Olympia, 98.5.
Hey, Ben Gummy, my heart is beating for you. On a sunny afternoon, screaming, we can't get back. Opens up with the last days of summer, and we one by one. Marches on time, is marching on and floating like.
summer we are standing barefoot in the grass, watching the D-Day circle the treetops, playing with our eyes like two lovers who can't say goodbye. Hey, Bengami, my heart is bleeding for you. On a sunny afternoon, screaming we can't get back. Your memory opens up with the last days of summer, ending one by one. Hey, Bengami, my heart is bleeding for you. On a sunny afternoon, screaming we can't. Opens up with the last days of summer, ending one by one. One by one. One by one. But I ain't used to it yet. A closing curtain forgets and leaves me standing in the dark. I ain't used to it yet. A closing curtain forgets and leaves me standing.
Da 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 da. It's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't you
woo!
Step on my blue suede shoe. Well, you can do anything but take me over my blue suede shoe. Well, you can knock me down, step in my face, slander my name all over the place. Well, do anything that you want to do, but not, honey, lay off them shoes. And don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Well, you can do anything but take me over my blue suede shoe. Let's go, cat! Steal my car, drink my liquor from an old fruit jar. Well, do anything that you wanna do, but honey, lay off my shoes and don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Well, you can do anything but lay off my blue suede shoe. For the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, 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 but don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Well, you can do anything but take the help of my blue suede shoe. Well, it's blue, blue, blue suede shoes. Blue, blue, blue suede shoes.
Yeah!
Blue, blue, blue suede shoes, baby. Blue, blue, blue suede shoes. Well, you can do anything but take the help of my blue suede shoe.
What the fuck? Shit!
Moo!
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 Woo!
Moo! 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 Moo!
Yeah.
see suffering, echinacea buffering. We aim to remember what we choose to forget. God's just a baby, and her diaper is wet.
Call the police, I'm strapped to the teeth, and live on the district, got you every belief. Calling the law, I'm fixing the draw. Allow me to what isn't seen to call up a brawl. Calling them now, cause it's about to go pow. I'm standing on a search on the thugs and the dimes. Call up a truce, because I'm about to break loose. We're taking that concern, I'm breaking out of my noose. I got a list of demands, written on the palm of my hands. I'm on my visit, you got no right.
A grand exit caught in the curtains. A person should have pulled this rope long ago. For the water hole froze over, I saw the snow. The best cue for rescue's a couple yanks. Pressed my luck, held my breath enough, but then my stomach sank. Should have never been walking the plank with cement shoes without an oxygen tank or wetsuit. Destitute conditions leave fishermen victims of circumstance, but you don't need a hook for the worms to dance.
Just slow down, Gandhi. You're killing them. Don't advertise. No product placements. Understand?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I don't think I can handle she goes channel to channel, Cole, looking for that hero.
Frank, what's up, man? Life is in bullshit. On the news. Fucking bullshit. Reporters.
Makeshift Patriot, the flag shop is out of stock. I hang myself at half mast. Makeshift Patriot, the flag shop is out of stock. I hang myself at half mast. Makeshift Patriot, the flag shop is out of stock. I hang myself at half mast. It's the makeshift, the Patriot, the flag shop is out of stock. I hang myself.
Be alive, telecast.
Coming live.
beautiful weather offered a nice shine, which is suitable for a full view of a forever altered skyline. It's times like these, I freestyle biased opinions. Every other sentence, my journalist ethics slip when I pass them off as objective.
Don't give me that ethical shit.
I've got exclusive explicit images to present to impressionable American kids, and it's time to show this world how big our edifice is. That's exactly what they attacked when a typically dark-skinned Disney villain used civilians against civilians and charged the Trojan horses into our building.
Using commercial aviation as instruments of destruction.
Pregnant women couldn't protect their children. Wheelchairs were stairway obstructions. I have to backpedal from the shower of glass and metal, wondering how after it settles, we'll find who provided power to radical rebels. The melting pot seems to be calling the kettle black when it boils over, but only on our own soil. So the little boy holds a toy soldier and waits for the suit and tie to come home. We won't wait till he's older before we destroy hopes for a colder war to end.
I'll get a close-up of his head. Makeshift patriot, the flag shop is out of stock. I hang myself at half-mast.
How does my hair look?
Makeshift patriot, the flag shop is out of stock. I hang myself at half-mast.
Turn that tape back!
Makeshift patriot, the flag shop is out of stock. I hang myself at half-mast.
It looks just like a movie.
It's the makeshift, the patriot, the flag shop is out of stock. I hang myself while the stock markets crash.
The city is covered in inches of muck. I see some other pictures of victims are up. Grieving mothers are thinking their children are stuck. Leaping lovers are making decisions to jump
while holding hands
to escape the brutal heat, sometimes in groups of three. The fallout goes far beyond the toxic clouds where people look like debris. But all they saw after all was said beyond the talking heads was the bloody dust with legs looking like the walking dead calling for meds. But all the hospitals are overwhelmed. Volunteers need to go the hell home. Moments of silence for firefighters were interrupted by cell phones. Who's gonna make that call to increase an unknown death toll? It's the one we rally behind. He's got a megaphone, promising to make heads roll. We cheer him on, but asbestos is affecting our breath control. The less we know, the more they fabricate, the easier it is to sell souls.
There is a new price on freedom, so buy into it while supplies last. Changes need to be made. No more curbside baggage. 7 p.m. curfew. Racial profiling will continue with less bitching. We've unified over who to kill, so until I find more relevant scripture to quote,
we're selling addictive 24-hour candlelight vigils in TVs. Freedom will be defended at the cost of civil liberties. The viewers are glued to television screens, stuck, cause lots of things seem too sick. I use opportunities to pluck heartstrings for theme music. I show you which culture to pump your fist at, yeah. Which foot is right to kiss. We don't really know who the culprit is yet, nah. But he looks like this. We know who the heroes are, they're not the xenophobes who act hard. We taught that dog to squat, how dare he do that shit in our own backyard. They happen to scar our financial state and chart our landscape. Can you count how many times so far I ran back the same damn tape while the cameraman creates news and shoves it down our throats on the West Bank with a 10-second clip put on constant loop to provoke U.S. angst. So get your tanks and load your guns and hold your sons in a family huddle, cause even if we win this tug of war and even the score, humanity struggles. There's a need of blood for what's been uncovered under the rubble. Some of them dug for answers in the mess, but the rest were looking for trouble.
Makeshift patriot, the flag shop is out of stock. I hang myself at half-mast. Makeshift patriot, the flag shop is out of stock. I hang myself at half-mast. Makeshift patriot, the flag shop is out of stock. I hang myself at half-mast. It's the makeshift, the patriot, the flag shop is out of stock. I hang myself.
Don't wave your rights with your flags.
Well, something bloody hilarious happened to the Free Radio Olympia. What is that? Did you know that our fan is an Aries? That's right. I'm not saying our number one fan or all of Free Radio Olympia's fans, but no, the electric fan sitting on the board started the Zodiac. That's right. That's not the interesting and funny, hilarious thing that happened to Free Radio Olympia. This is just what happens to your collective, your radio station, or whatever you want to call it, when you don't got your shit together. No, 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 it ain't there. In fact, it's looser stool and diarrhea. Okay, well, I'll tell you what happens is you lose 20,000 MP3s. And what's so great about that and funny? What's funny about it is, didn't you fill in the last two words? I didn't tell you. So, anyway, I'm just here to tell you that it's great because we don't need 20,000 MP3s because you were hearing the same goddamn 1,500 MP3s every single week all the time. And now they're gone too. So we can start all over. And you know what I'm going to download? Just because we're starting all over. We got 1 terabyte of clean slate. And what am I going to fill it with? You know. Well, you'll hear it before the end of the night. It's if you're playing ad libs, it'd be 2 different body parts. Okay. I'll play 2 different body parts for you later. But now, back to the interesting saga, the amazing, incredible saga of patriotism.
Would have destroyed this second foothold of the Spaniards in the New World as well, had Columbus's return been delayed by even a few months. Columbus managed to smooth things over with Roldan and reassert some limited authority. But his little empire was still in sad disarray when Francisco de Bobadilla, an emissary from the court of Ferdinand and Isabella, arrived 2 years later. Bobadilla had been charged by the Spanish monarchs, who were receiving distressing reports of Columbus's ineptitude, with finding out just how bad things were. Numerous conflicts between Bobadilla and Columbus eventually led to Columbus's arrest and to his being taken back to Spain in chains and in disgrace. He was soon pardoned, though not restored to his former powers, and such was his reputation that he was even able to gather resources to finance a fourth voyage. Long before this time, Columbus's mental health, perhaps never robust, had begun to fail. Signs of this had appeared at the outset of his third voyage. Before his arrival in Hispaniola, he'd explored the seas around the island of Trinidad and found signs of fresh water flowing from the mouth of the mighty Orinoco River. He promptly supposed that he had discovered one of the 4 rivers of paradise, which flowed from the Garden of Eden. To explain the Garden of Eden's location in that rather unlikely place, he made the further assumption that the world was actually pear-shaped rather than round. The Orinoco was at the top of the pear and was therefore the nearest part of the planet to heaven.
This ends side one of cassette 6.
Was Columbus himself suffering from syphilis? And does this explain his progressive mental derangement? Certainly. When he came back to Spain from his final voyage at the end of 1504, he was clearly mentally ill and his legs were paralyzed. Though, of course, there are many other possible causes of these symptoms. At this time, he was only 53 years old. He was still alert enough to dictate his will on the 19th of May, 1506, 2 days before he died. Columbus had brought 10 of the inhabitants of Hispaniola back with him on his first voyage, and in 1495, he officially initiated the slave trade between the old and new worlds by sending 500 natives back to Spain in a ship commanded by Antonio de Torres. About 300 of them, whom Columbus had called rebels rather than slaves in order to assuage his conscience, survived the trip. And though Columbus had been the only one brave or perhaps crazy enough to lead the way, by the time of his death, the waters of the Atlantic were filled with other ships packed with adventurers eager to exploit the new world he'd found. The dreadful traffic in human cargo and the inevitable transfer from the old world to the new of smallpox, measles, mumps, and many other diseases had begun. But was there a transfer of disease from the new to the old world as well? Did Columbus introduce syphilis to Spain? The controversy over this possibility has raged down to the present time and still remains unresolved. It forms one of the most complex, puzzling, and fascinating medical detective stories of all time. I cannot attempt to resolve it here, though I have preferences that will become apparent as the story unfolds. But even to try to understand the story, we must begin by realizing that syphilis is one extreme of a continuum of diseases, most of them surprisingly little understood, which have afflicted humans and their relatives for a very long time. Syphilis is simply the most extreme manifestation of the attempts of a parasite to spread from host to host. Like so many other diseases that have managed to spread beyond the tropics, it has found new and ingenious ways to survive, but at a cost to itself as well as its hosts. Like the plague bacillus, it's the result of a series of evolutionary compromises that have opened up a risky new niche. Penicillin, first used against infections in 1943, has been extremely effective against syphilis and its allied diseases. Doctors of today are able to cure the infection in its earliest stages and are not confronted, as were doctors in the 1930s and earlier, with patients in whom it had run riot for decades. Occasionally, we get glimpses of how devastating its course used to be. The notorious Tuskegee study of men deliberately left untreated for the disease was revealed to a shocked world in 1972. This cruel and unnecessary study had been carried out over a period of decades by doctors in the U.S. Public Health Service and yielded nothing of value.
All right, yes, we have information for you. A caller has called to confirm that he also agrees that Columbus brought syphilis to the new, the old world, the land known as Spain. That this caller says that he got syphilis in Spain, and he blames Cristobal Colombo for such the uncomfortability. And we at Free Radio Olympia are forced to agree with him. There you have it. You heard it here first.
I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6-4 Impala. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6-4 Impala. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6-4 Impala. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6-4 Impala. I wish I was like 6'9" so I can hit with Leoshi, cause she don't know me, but yo, she's really fine. You know I see her all the time, everywhere I go. Even in my dreams, I got scheme of ways to make her mine. Cause I know she's living back, her boyfriend's tall and he plays ball, so how am I gonna compete with that? Cause when it comes to playing basketball, I'm always last to be picked and in some cases never picked at all. So I just lean up on the wall, or sit up in the bleachers with the rest of the girls who came to watch they man ball. Tag y'all, I never understood black, while the jocks get the fly girls and me I get the hood rats. I tell them scat, skittles, kabobble, got hit with a bottle, put in the hospital for talking that mess. I
confess it's a shame when you living in a city that's the size of a box and nobody knows your name. Glad I came to my senses, like quick, quick, got sick to my stomach, overcoming my thoughts of me and her together, right? So when I asked her out, she said I wasn't a type. I wish I was a little bit taller, I wish I was a baller, I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6'4" Impala. I wish I was a little bit taller, I wish I was a baller, I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6'4" Impala. I wish I had a brand new car, so far I got his hatchback, and everywhere I go, yo, I get slapped at. And when I'm in my car, I'm laid back. I got an 8-track and a spare tire in the backseat, but that's flat. And if you wanna know what's really whack, see, I can't even get a date, so what you think of that? I heard that prom night is a bomb night with a hood ratchet and old type, but really though, I'm Figaro. When in my car, I can't even get a hello. Well, so many people want a cruise Crenshaw on Sunday. One day I'ma have to get in my car and go. You know, I take the 110 into the 105. Get off on Crenshaw, tell my homies look alive. Cause it's hard to survive when you're living in a concrete jungle. And these girls keep passing me. She looks fly, she looks fly. Make me say my, my, my. I wish I was a little bit taller, I wish I was a baller, I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6'4" Impala. I wish I was a little bit taller, I wish I was a baller, I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6'4" Impala. Hey, I wish I had my way, cause every day would be a Friday and you can even speed on a highway. I would play ghetto games, name my kids ghetto names. Little Mookie, Big Al, Lorraine. But you know that's on the real. So if you down on your luck, then you should know just how I feel. Cause if you don't want me around, see I go simple, I go easy, I go Greyhound. Hey, you, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Hey, you, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Hey, you, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Ah, yes, ain't that fresh? Everybody wants to get down like that. I wish I was a little bit taller, I wish I was a baller, I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6'4" Impala. I wish I was a little bit taller, I wish I was a baller, I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6'4" Impala.
Skilla, you know, wish you were taller.
I know you need more than two. that. Hey, you, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Hey, you, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Hey, you, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Ah, yes, ain't that fresh? Now everybody wants to get down like that.
All right, let's go. We've got a day with the underground.
Yes, thank you for listening to your mom. She knows what's right. Yep, that's right. This is Free Radio Olympia. You can call us anytime you want, whether or not we're here. I don't give a fuck. I'm not telling you the area code either, but the phone number is 705-9780-0. The magic number. Yeah, it is. Magic number 0. You know what? Zero. Hey, we're having a benefit or two coming up soon. We'll have one coming up this weekend. I recognize we're having one coming up this weekend. I'll look around here for some information on that shit. Real soon, like. Hello? Any information?
Thank you. met you, there was peace unknown. I set out to get you with a fine tooth comb. I was soft inside, there was something going on. And I feel no pain, every beat of my heart. We got something going on. Tender love is blind, it requires a dedication. All this love we feel needs no conversation. We're riding together, making love with each other.
I can't live without you if the love was. Sometimes it's awful hard to tell.